Leviyosan ze yitzar tel sachik boi. In Sefer Likutei Torah Parsha Shmini, the Alter Rebbe discusses the pasuk Leviyosan ze yitzar tel sachik boi. In Tilim, in Barchi Nafshi, we learn that Leviyosan ze yitzar tel sachik boi, which means that Hashem created the Leviyosan, the great fish, the Leviathan, to play with. So the question is, what does this mean? So there are many midrashim on the topic, but one midrash that the Alter Rebbe quotes in Parsha Shmini, in this Dibur Maschil, goes as follows. The midrash tells us that L'asad Lavi, in the future to come, Hashem is going to make a competition between the Leviathan, the Leviathan, the great fish, and the Shor Habar, this great beast of the forest, the wild ox. And the Leviyosan and the Shor HaBar are going to go at it in front of the Tzaddikim, in front of the righteous, in the future to come. And then the two animals are going to kill one another. And the Medrash compares this to two gladiators battling in front of nobles, as was common in ancient times. The two slaughtered animals are going to be served to the Tzaddikim in this future feast, this future setting. So, how will the two animals slaughter one another? Well, the Medrash tells us that the Leviathan will take its fins and will slit the throat of the Shor HaBar, of the ox of the forest, the wild ox, and the Shor HaBar will slaughter the Leviathan with its horn. This is a very interesting Medrash. It sounds a little bit mythical, and as Chassidus often does, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain in this Maimer what the spiritual significance of this very interesting story, this very interesting battle between the Leviathan and the Shor HaBar is, and what it's going to mean, L'asad Lavi, what it's going to mean in the future to come, but also how it's spiritually relevant to the contemporary setting. Now, a final detail of this Medrash is that the Leviathan's fins are serrated. The Leviathan's fins are serrated. And it's going to be slaughtering the wild ox. But an ox is only kosher, or any animal is only kosher, if it's killed with a straight blade, not a serrated blade. So Medrash tells us, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, will permit the flesh of the wild ox. So what in the world does this mean? So Alter Rebbe explains that the Leviathan and the Shor HaBar represent two different paradigms of people who serve Hashem. The Leviathan, says the Alter Rebbe, swims under the ocean. It swims in the sea. And one of the advantages of swimming is that you're able to swim with greater speed than you're able to walk on land. And the Alter Rebbe compares the Leviathan as well to a bird, because birds, much like fish, have wings. Wings are comparable to fins. And the Alter Rebbe says that the Leviathan, with the force of its fins, is able to propel itself at very great speeds, much like a bird is able to propel itself at very great speeds and can go much faster than any land animal. Furthermore, as a fish, as an animal under the ocean, the Leviathan is one with its source. It is completely contingent on the water in order to survive, and once it leaves the water, it loses its life force. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the Leviathan represents a tzaddik, the sort of righteous person whose worship of Hashem is in a manner of pure spirituality. The example the Alter Rebbe gives for such a type of tzaddik is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, as the Gemara tells us, lived in a cave for 13 years. And during those 13 years, he and his son subsisted only on water from a stream and a carob tree. So the Alter Rebbe infers that if that's all that Rashbi was subsisting on, then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wasn't making kiddush on Friday night with wine. He wasn't eating matzah on Pesach. He wasn't shaking the lulav and esrog. He wasn't sitting in a sukkah. Basically, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was not doing a lot of the physical mitzvahs. And similarly, says the Alter Rebbe, many of the spiritual masters who lived in and across Jewish history were primarily devoted to serving Hashem spiritually. They were primarily involved in davening, in learning Torah. They were involved in deep meditations. And the Alter brings further examples of the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov. They weren't men of this world. They were otherworldly. And that's the idea of the fish. The fish doesn't live in this world. The Leviathan, the great fish, doesn't live in this world. It lives in the ocean, completely subsumed and submerged in divinity, or it's flying in the air. It's above this world, it's not grounded, and it's able to travel at tremendous speeds. It's able to go very far in its spiritual path and spiritual worship. What's the idea of the Shor HaBar? What's the idea of the wild ox? The other Rebbe says this represents somebody whose worship of Hashem happens on the land. It represents somebody who's involved in doing physical mitzvahs, somebody who's a person of the world, whose primary key, whose primary connection to Hashem happens through their spiritual service. And we might even compare this to the difference between the Yoshev Ohel, the person who sits in the tent of Torah, and Tefillah all day long, that might be the Leviathan, and the Shor HaBar would be the Baal Esek, the person who's engaged more in business and more in concrete physical ways of connecting with Elikos, of connecting with Hashem. Now, the downside of being engaged in Avodah Hashem this way is that one tends to move with less intensity. And that's the idea of going on land. When we go on land, there's greater resistance, and it's harder to move as fast. On the other hand, says the Alter Rebbe, if you're embodied, if you live in the physical world, you tend to be stronger. You tend to be on a certain level more alive. And he says this is much like the animal, that an animal is much harder to shech, is much harder to slaughter than it is to slaughter a fish or to slaughter a bird. So it emerges, we have two paradigms of Avodas Hashem. We have the Leviathan, the great fish on the one hand, and the Shor HaBar, the wild ox on the other. And each one has its virtue in Avodas Hashem, and each one has its downside. The Leviathan is really intense but ungrounded, and the Shor HaBar is very grounded but lacks the same inner experience of intensity. So what does it mean that the two are going to slaughter one another? There's going to be an act of mutual slaughtering that happens in the future to come. Sal Arab explains the symbolism as follows. The idea of shechita, the idea of slaughtering in Ruchnius, means that you're leaving your current existence. You were once one way, and now you're jumping out of that way of being. It's much like Chassidim say that the idea of getting married is the idea of being reborn. It's a second birth. Now, if you're reborn, that implies that you're dying. Or as we say, Yom Kippur is a day of being reborn. So the idea is that ideally, on Yom Kippur, we leave our old selves behind, and we reach a higher level of consciousness, we reach a new element of self. Or similarly, when a person gets married, they leave their old lower self behind and enter a higher state of being. So that's the idea of the Leviathan and the Shor HaBar slaughtering one another. That by coming into an intense, radical encounter, the two cause one another to leave what they once were and to become a different sort of being. And what exactly does that mean? So let's start with Leviathan. When the Leviathan, when the person who is not of this world, who is completely engaged in spiritual contemplation, in Torah study, in tefillah all day long, doesn't just meet up with the worldly person, but challenges them, encounters them in a radical way, that will slaughter the worldly person. The worldly person becomes less impacted by the world, and more able to integrate spiritual illumination into their existence. And the Alter Rebbe explains, what's the idea of the serrated fin, the serrated shechita? A straight edge symbolizes gradual growth, gradual progression. And that's a general idea in Avodas Hashem. Le'salab ma'aleis al mizbechi. We're not meant to climb up on the divine altar with stairs, with steps. Because steps aren't gradual. Steps demand jumping from one step to another. So if you jump from one step to another, then there's a risk that you might trip and fall. But if you go up on a ramp, if you go up very gradually, then you can progress spiritually more safely. So usually when we engage in an act of shechita, we've got to be very careful. We've got to be very gradual in terms of bringing a person out of one state of spiritual being to a higher state of spiritual being. But the Alter Rebbe says, in the future to come, those who are more grounded in this world will be slaughtered in that they will be jumping from a lower level of spiritual illumination and consciousness to a much higher level of spiritual illumination. That's why Hashem will allow this shechita with a serrated edge in the mashal. And what does it mean that the Shara Bar, that the wild ox, is going to slaughter the Leviathan with its horn? So here, the Alter Rebbe invokes the concept from Sefer Yetzirah that no tzchilosan b'seifen v'seifen b'tchilosan. The beginning is wedged in the end, and the end is wedged in the beginning. What does that mean in this context? So in this context, it means that the actions we do are ultimately motivated by our subconscious experience. But in a strange feedback loop, the concrete actions we do ultimately impact on our subconscious experience. So the horn is above the head. And in that sense, it represents the transcendent aspect of the animal or of the person. It represents the subconscious self. And the idea is, when a person who engages with the world, when a person who struggles with the world and uplifts the world, encounters the tzaddik, encounters the person who is always involved in Torah and Tefillah, and they don't just encounter the person who's always involved in Torah and Tefillah, but they have a very deep connection with the tzaddik who's always engaged in Torah and Tefillah, then that person of the world totally shatters the tzaddik's sheltered experience of reality and brings the tzaddik up to a much higher level of spiritual consciousness and a physical consciousness, of consciousness altogether. And that's the idea of the Shor HaBar, of the wild ox goring the Leviathan, goring the animal which represents the tzaddik constantly engaged in Torah and Tefillah. So here we see an example of how Torah's Chabad takes very strange and seemingly mythological midrashim and brings them into very clear and understandable spiritual categories. But what's the actionable message of this teaching? So first, the Alter Rebbe here has given us a very striking typology. We've learned that, broadly speaking, there are two types of individuals. There are those who are engaged more in theory, and that's okay, that's a good thing. And there are those who are engaged more in practice, and that's also a good thing. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Embrace who you are. But honestly learn and understand, who am I? Am I a fish or am I an animal? Right? And then within the idea of being a fish or an animal, you don't want just to be a fish. You want to be the Leviathan. You want to be the great fish. Or if you're in the spiritual typology of the animal, of the person who's more worldly and engaged in the world, you don't just want to be a small cow. You want to be the Shor HaBar, the great ox, the person who's really engaged in elevating the physical world in a meaningful way. So that's the first point. Know who you are, understand who you are, and embrace yourself. The second point is, after you've embraced yourself, realize that often the greatest spiritual transformation will come by radical encounter with somebody who's very different from yourself, with somebody whose mode of divine service, whose mode of worship is very different than your own. And very often, your interactions with people who are very different than yourself will not be easy. They won't be comfortable. But the conflict and the growth that happens through authentic encounters with somebody who's different from yourself, and acknowledging and learning from those differences, leads to a messianic expansion of consciousness.